Unit 99 to KMA 907. Unit 99, Sergeant Meredith, 909, in service, on the air. This is Sergeant Dan Meredith of Unit 99 at Headquarters, Police Department, City of Sacramento, California. My detail is to ride in Unit 99, our tape recorder-equipped radio car, and to respond whenever the dispatcher transmits a signal to one of our other units on duty somewhere in the city. At the scene, we make the recordings which we provide for this program. Now, to tell you more about Unit 99, here is our chief, James V. Hicks, Sacramento Police.
When Unit 99 takes off on the dispatcher's radio signal, everything which happens is real. What you hear, happened. This is the standing order to Sergeant Meredith, the officer in charge of Unit 99. Get it on the spot while it's going on. And as you listen, this is what Meredith does. Now to Unit 99 and Sergeant Dan Meredith on duty.
Unit 2. 415 at H. Henry. Check 2, came in on 7.
Did you get that?
Yes. Let's see what it is.
This is a service station. I can see from here that there's a car up on the property. A couple of people around, man and a woman. A tow truck. A car being towed. Here's a unit just coming in now. French and Bibica. Let's get out.
What's the matter?
French?
Well, this car is parked in this...
illegally parked here. It's
private property.
Illegally parked.
The man comes towing away and he's walking about it there. The guy said the car's parked.
Is this your service station?
Yeah.
And you didn't give this party permission to park here at all?
No, sir. And he come in here and he bang up the buildings and he ruined the place here. Take 2 or 3 stalls. I got no room for the customers to pay here or anything, so...
Let's talk with the person that owns the car. Hello there.
Hi.
Did you get permission to park here?
No, I didn't. But I've driven in there ever since the station is built. Well, I have it when what's his name? Before these fellas took him, the old man.
You can't do anything about it, lady. This is private property. You parked on private property. The man.
I agree with him on that. But just a moment. First of all, we didn't know the statement changed hands. We parked here. My mother's lived here for 2 years. She lives right there in that back apartment. We didn't know anything about it. We tried to get him to stop and reason that we knew the man who had owned the station. We didn't know it had changed hands. And then he started pulling it off and he said, well, can't we sell this? Can't we? We'll move the car. Can't we get it straightened out or anything else? And then I called you. All we want to do is straighten it out.
Well, I'm one of the owners here now, and I've been here 2 months.
Yeah.
And
we
I've had
been
people
over.
They're banging up. Look at the building, how they've been banging it up. They're parking the pumps there and leak oil all over the place.
I
can't come in here
that.
At night and get
I
gas
know
in my own car.
Wrong.
So
I mean,
I went ahead and called a tow truck.
I know that. And believe
thing.
Me, if we'd had any idea.
Because we naturally, when we came over
if
here...
If I don't know where you lived there, I would have came and knocked
well,
on your door and told you, but I didn't
imagine
know where you
it.
Lived
and
all
my
that.
Mother looked out, she heard this noise, and she thought people were burglarizing the car or something. It scared us to death.
Sure, I can realize you're being scared, but if I knew you lived there, I'd have came and told you.
Well,
that's
I know you would have, but let's get the thing straightened out. Now we've got to go back to San Mateo tomorrow.
It was in about 8 when we got here.
It was after that, because he doesn't get off work.
Well, now you have to settle with the toll.
All right, we'll settle with the tow. I don't care, but if you'd just be reasonable. I don't understand such treatment.
Well, this man here, he can't write and notify everybody that the station has changed hands.
No, that's true,
impossible.
But if it had been posted, there were no signs, no parking, no anything.
Well,
we'd always live to give
him. Well, lady,
we used to pull in.
In privately owned property, they don't usually have signs posted.
I grant you that, but we'd pull in and he'd grease our car and gas the car and wash it and we'd give him $2 or $3 and we parked here and we just... didn't know.
Well, he didn't know your car. He don't know you. It's just the same as him pulling his car in and parking in your
I
private
realize,
driveway.
I realize, and it's been a horrible mistake, but at least someone could have had sense enough to try and reason
well, your
decently
mother
could
have came and told me that she had a daughter here, and
well,
you know,
I'll tell
she might
you.
Park her, and I would have watched
that's
for
right,
her.
That's right, but I'll tell you the truth.
How much is the toll bill?
$7.50. Well, let's pay him and get it straightened out and we'll go across the street.
Well, personally, I would prefer to pick it up down at the garage.
I want it now. I'm tired and I'm upset.
Never been treated like human. No human's ever treated
like
that.
Towed away with the emergency brake on and everything.
Will even stop?
Yeah. Is it unlocked? Or
smart Alex. He said just because you're so smart, it's going to cost you $50 instead of the tow charge.
Never saw such a jackass in my life.
Well, I was petrified. I ran in. I called the police and told the operator, somebody get out of here. But he tried to pull away that old man's car that was there, and he got awfully abusive with him.
Well, it looks like everything's settled. It was strictly a civil case. However, the officers are doing the best they can to settle it fairly and with an understanding.
Both sides were at fault in some degree in this dispute. It was another of the many instances in which a police officer must be reasonable and conciliatory and must act as an unofficial referee.
Unit 99.
99, go ahead.
924-99.
924.
Check, came in out 7.
You know what it is?
No, I don't. We'll check with radio when we get in.
Oh, here's the radio control. Mary, did you call us in?
Yes, 265. Warren and Nugent in the Detective Bureau want to see you.
Oh, thanks.
Okay.
And what was the first words he said to you?
Same thing. I mean, we were right together when he said it, you know. Mm-hmm.
And what did he say?
Give me your purse.
Give me your
stick
purse.
Up. Give me,
he said,
give
this
me your
is a stick up.
Give me your purse.
I see.
And I didn't hear any more what he said to her because I was so brave, I ran.
Did you give him the purse or did
I
he take...
I did.
And how much was in your purse?
Oh, very little. Just a few cents. It was just my keys. I'm worried about my car keys are in there. And my door keys.
After
do you have it? The little purse?
Yes.
Good.
And after he took the purse, what happened?
After he took the purse and she started to run, then he dashed across the street, I think, and some shots were fired.
Nugent Warren, I see you have a plastic purse there. Is that the purse that was taken from the victim by this fellow?
Yes, that was the purse that he had in his possession when we took him into custody.
Prior to making the arrest, Frank, I understand there was some shooting.
Yes, Officer Warren first stated, look what's happening across the street. We were watching this man walk along the street, and when he approached them, and then this woman one of the women started to yell, and we both jumped out of the car, and we told him to halt, and he would not, and he started to run north on 8th Street, towards N Street, and I fired one warning shot over his head, and then he made the turn into the alley, and it was fairly dark in the alley, and I fired two more shots at this fleeing man. He made a turn south behind one of the houses and ran into a high fence. He tried to scale this fence, but we closed in on him and took him into custody.
How many shots you say were fired at him?
There was three shots fired at him.
Are you going to question this suspect now?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
All right, let's take the cuffs off, Frank, huh?
Okay.
Well, that's fine. Now, we want to talk to you about this little deal that happened tonight.
Where were you before you came down to 8th and O Street? How long have you been in Sacramento?
Why did you take this purse from these women?
Well, we caught you with a purse in your hand and a knife in the alley, and you ran away from the scene when the women screamed. We told you to halt, and you still ran down towards the alley. Several shots were fired at you, and you still refused to stop.
Why did you do that?
Huh?
Can't you answer the officers?
The purse and the monies were found on your person at the time these officers stopped you. Now, how did that purse get on your person?
Well, Henry and Nugent, I guess we can't get anything out of him. What are you going to do with him now?
Well, we're going to charge him with 211 PC.
Stick up.
That's right. Robbery.
As you noted, this man refused to talk, but he made the mistake of committing the crime in the presence of two police officers. The woman identified him. The officers watched him commit the crime. The purse was found in his possession. There was little doubt of his guilt. He was sentenced for robbery.
Unit 2, 940A at 2nd and O Ocean, holding a man. Check 2, came in on 7.
The officers in Unit 2 have somebody in the back of their car and also up by the building. Let's go check with them.
Hi, Camper. What is this?
This man here found the other fellows trying to steal some gas from these trucks around the corner here.
How did he get this gas from your place? By what means?
Well, he has one of those 5-gallon tanks, you know, army tanks with the spout, and he was siphoning it. I didn't see him until he was going back past the pole there, and then I went down there and stopped him and asked him, well, you know, what he was doing. And he said he needed gas and tried to talk me into letting him go, but...
We met the man on the corner here. We had the information he was holding the man. We haven't seen his car yet.
This man is making a citizen's arrest there.
Citizen's arrest, yes.
Is the suspect in your car there?
Yes, he's in the back seat.
We'll talk with him. That seems to be the trouble here tonight.
I'd like to get home, Sarge. I was sticking my neck out for somebody else.
You were sticking your neck out tonight for someone else? Well, whose car is it that you're getting this gas for?
Well, this is my car. It didn't even go in my car.
Well, who's this fella you're sticking your neck out for?
I don't know. I'm the one who got caught.
Well, was this other fella around at the time, too?
No. I'm the one who got caught.
Well, you didn't answer my question.
Well, I'm the one who got caught, Sarge.
In other words, he was, but you're not going to tell us.
Well, I'm a loser anyway, so what's the use?
Well, when did you come out last?
I've been out. Do I have to make a recording of this?
You don't have to. I'll explain.
I've heard it on the radio.
How long a period of time have you served behind bars?
All my life?
Yes.
Oh, maybe 15 years.
15 years, and how old are you now?
28.
28?
Yeah.
In other words, 15 of your 28 years been behind bars. Okay, King, what are you going to do on this case?
Well, we had the guard here at the Delta Line sign a citizen's arrest.
And you're transporting this man?
We're under transporting for petty theft.
If this man was, as he claimed, sticking his neck out for someone else, he was steadfast in his refusal to identify his accomplice. He was given a county jail term on his plea of guilty to a charge of petty theft.
Units 21 and 22. 15th and L. Lincoln. A possible 502. Came in on 7. Traffic units 21 and 22 just got a possible 502. Accident. Drunken driver. 15th and L. Let's check it out. Pretty wet. Heavy rain. There's something on the left. Some two units. Officers, Yates and Reynolds are on the case.
Get drunk well at night, Sergeant?
Pretty wet. I should have one. Joe Mangan, traffic officer. Don Ludovic, man's outside the car, leaning up against the unit, staggering quite a bit.
Well, certainly.
They're checking his identification.
What we have to do is find out which one is which. Your license up in front, sir. Now, would you take it out of your wallet, please?
We got a report.
What are you after?
Your operator's license. Would you take it out of your wallet, sir?
Hello, Sheriff.
I'd be delighted if all we have to do is show me what you're after.
The officer doesn't like to handle a wallet. As a rule, they request that the individual take the operator's license for him.
Well, I'd love to. Just what are you after?
Your operator's license.
You know, we aren't getting anywhere.
Hold it.
It isn't that I don't want to do what you want me to. What are we trying to do?
I'd like to get your operator's license, sir, to see who you are. See if you have a license. Uh-huh. Would you turn your folder over there?
Look, let's do it this way. Look, put you later on. I'll take my money out of my wallet.
Leave your money where it is.
This man can go at it.
He doesn't want to handle your wallet for that reason.
Is this where you're living now?
What?
Is it at this address?
Yes, sir.
That's where you live. What happened?
I beg your pardon?
I say, what happened to you tonight?
Get a little bit drunk.
A little bit?
Yes.
How much, sir?
Very.
Well, how much have you been drinking tonight?
A lot.
Well, you think you should be driving when you've been drinking a lot?
No, sir.
Well, why do you drive on a night like this? It's raining and streets are wet, visibility is poor. Yet you drive in a condition like that?
I beg your pardon, sir?
What are you going to do, Madigan?
I've been driving.
Well, Sergeant will take him down to the emergency hospital and have him checked for sobriety.
This is no accident case, is it?
No. No, it's just a citizen stopped him. He's going the wrong way on the one-way street and almost collided head-on with him.
I see. We'll follow you in the emergency.
Okay, sir.
The unit should be here.
Might be in on the jail yard side.
Let's make a run for it. It's coming down pretty heavy. We're in the emergency hospital.
Well, by judge, and you know what? That's a good question. Let's see. My own bare hands. I'm trying to figure the thing out at the moment.
Well, let's see. What sort of work do you do? Where at?
12th and 12th and 9th Streets. Sacramento.
12th and 9th Street?
Yes.
Do you have a watch?
No.
Could you tell me what time it is?
Well, if you give me a long shot at the thing, it looks like it's 10:25.
Mm-hmm. How's your health?
Fine, thank you. And what's the date on the date that I gave you on the watch?
Do you want to know what the date is?
Yes. What day?
What day is it?
I'm asking you, now you're not asking me. Come on, quick. What's the day?
Where have you been drinking?
In Duncan, huh?
Whom did you have to drink tonight?
I beg your pardon?
How much did you have to drink tonight?
If I answer that question, I'll be hung with my answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, you don't want to answer that, Sam, is that right?
All right, no, I don't want to answer that.
Could you stand up again, please?
Sure.
Can you keep your feet together? Can you stand on one foot?
Certainly, which one?
Anyone.
Anyone? Look, I only have two. Pick one.
It's not much of a choice, is it?
No, it is not. You pick one.
Well, let's see you stand on the right one. Okay, let's see you stand on the other one.
Oh, you want both? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Have you ever been stopped before for this sort of thing?
Well, let's say what we mean. What do you mean?
I mean, have you ever been stopped by the police for driving while under the influence of liquor?
No, sir.
You never have?
No.
Do you realize that you were going down a one-way street against traffic?
To be truthful, no, I did not. Do not.
Did you notice the cars coming towards you? The lights, all the lights of the cars coming at you?
No, I hadn't noticed that.
Well, sir, you almost struck one head on tonight.
Was that because I was traveling down the street or highway, or because the other car was becoming coming toward me with no idea that of the fact that I was or had not noted the fact that I should not be going down the street. I was not trying.
Where did you come from tonight, sir?
Sacramento.
I mean, whereabouts? Just prior to the time you were stopped.
I beg your pardon?
Where did you come from?
Sacramento.
I know you're in Sacramento now, but I mean, whereabouts in town had you come from?
I don't think I'm in Sacramento at the moment, but have I been in Sacramento at the moment? I live, if that's what you are after.
Where do you think you're at right now? What city do you think you're in?
Marysville.
Marysville?
Yes.
And you're in Sacramento.
Well, wee-dee-dee, that shows you just that I don't know where I am, doesn't it?
Sergeant, I think he wishes he was in Marysville.
Where had you come from before you were stopped? The officer would like to have that question answered.
Where had I come from before I had been stopped?
Yes.
Sacramento.
Doctor, what is your conclusion on this?
This man is definitely intoxicated.
What are you going to do now, Mangan?
We're going to book him under Section 502. That's driving while under the influence of intoxicated liquors.
I sincerely hope that every person who may be tempted to drive a car after drinking listen carefully to this case. An amiable drunk and fairly amusing during his examination, he was actually a dangerous potential killer when at the wheel of his car. He paid a $263 fine.
This is Unit 99 in Sacramento, California. These on-the-scene tape recordings were provided by the Sacramento Police Department and were made on duty by Sergeant Dan Meredith in Unit 99. Your host is Chief James V. Hicks of the Sacramento Police Department. Unit 99 was directed by Tony Kester and came to you from Sacramento.
Unit 99 to KMA 907. Unit 99, 908 coming in. End of tour.
Check 99, KMA 907.
Unit 99 has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.